You know, our Wednesday night, I think, is such a wonderful place to share your spiritual thoughts. You know, God doesn't expect us to be great speakers or great entertainers or any of that. God just wants us to sing from our hearts and speak from our hearts and not be a know-it-all. Oh, we don't have to be the best of the best of the very best. And you know, when you get up to talk about God for the first time publicly, even if they look out and see all of you as friends and smiling faces, it's not easy. So when we come up here to talk about God, particularly if you do it the first time, ooh, and you're going to say, even say the word God publicly, you feel like, and you kind of just hang back a little. And sometimes I have to twist arms and everything, you know, to get people to come up and share their thoughts about life, their thoughts about God. And I've had to encourage this young lady for quite a few years, but now she's kind of getting a little more agreeable with me to get up here and share her thoughts. And this is a wonderful, wonderful young lady that is a tremendous mom. And I've known her now for 20 years. And this is our Penny.
Oh, lovely. Oh my gosh, thank you.
She's delightful. So enjoy our Penny.
Thank you, everybody. Hi. I'm going to use my notes here. Hi, Lisa. My name is Penelope Quirk, and I am the president of Art Smarts Incorporated. And I'm going to talk a little bit, just a little tonight, about self-esteem. And then, because it's been one of the biggest hurdles that I've had to overcome in my lifetime. And actually, tonight you're getting Plan B for my talk. And most of the kids who I teach art lessons to know that I always have a plan B. I know Lindy talked about a plan B in her talk a couple weeks ago. And just last week, I was teaching an art class, and I went into my bag of art supplies, and there were no brushes. And that would have been fine if we were drawing, but we were painting. And so I said to the group, so guess what we're going to do? And this little six-year-old girl named Sophie, who's had me in class for a while, she stands up, raises her hand, and she goes, "We're doing Plan B." So cute. It's like she knows me. So we actually ended up using our fingers for paintbrushes rather than paintbrushes. So that was so cute. So anyway, the plan A for tonight's talk was I was going to show you a video of an interview that I did 25 years ago with comedian Robin Williams. And since it was a video, I asked Michael Dare to transfer it, because who has a video these days, right? It's like he wanted to, so I asked him to transfer it to DVD and then pare it down to 20 minutes. And then bring in a monitor, and Michael had actually, he got a good paying job in Northern California. So if Millie asked me to come again some other time, then you might have that treat on what his spiritual thoughts were. Because I used to be an art director for Magical Blend magazine up in San Francisco. And then when I moved to San Diego, I took a class at San Diego City College on telecommunications. And for my final project, I asked Robin if he would fly down here, and there was a TV set. They made it like a, you know, props like a TV set. And I interviewed him on all of the different spiritual thoughts that I had, you know, questions for. And I asked him, and of course he took off. You know, it was great. And so I transcribed it into an article for Magical Blend magazine. I think they call the magazine Blend now, I'm not sure, but it was pretty neat being the art director for that magazine. So anyway, so we'll share that a different time. And so when I was thinking about what I was going to talk about in my plan B tonight, I asked the angels to help me with my talk. And of course, asking the angels is one of the tools that I have and everybody can have for their spiritual tool belt. And so all these little signs kept on popping up in little tidbits. So, you know, I hope that I can make some sense of it because it's like a little bit here, a little bit there and all that stuff. But, and you know, it's interesting because Barbara gave a message on Sunday to one of Patrick's friends about a kaleidoscope. And with public message bearing, it's interesting that if it can fit for you. If it doesn't go to the, you know, it might not be for that specific person. That's why it's public message bearing it. And so this one with the kaleidoscope fit for me as well, because I had in my hutch this kaleidoscope. And Robin gave this to me 25 years ago. And it was really interesting. And I was actually, and so I took it out, like you said, and looked at it. And I was shocked. Absolutely shocked, because I looked through this and everything was blurry. I'm like, oh my gosh. It literally has been that many years since I've looked through this. So my perspective has changed for 25 years, over the last 25 years, and I am not focused on what I was focused on 25 years ago. It's really interesting how that really, truly, literally fit in with this kaleidoscope. So if anybody wants to look through it, that's kind of cool. The younger ones, it'll see clearly. I don't have my reading glasses with me to look at it. So it's interesting because also the word kaleidoscope came up two times since she gave that message. How often do you hear the word kaleidoscope? Not very often. So I thought, okay, that's a little nudge a couple times from the angel saying to just bring it, you know, bring it. It's interesting. So you're all welcome. Anybody's welcome to check it out. And I went to this Get Motivated seminar. A lot of people might have heard about it. They did a lot of advertising. And interesting enough, I'm in Tuesday night class with Millie. Five people we ran into from Tuesday night class there. Mm-hmm. Really interesting. Actually, two of them are here. And Mary actually gave us the tickets to go, which was great. And my favorite speaker was James Smith. You two went to his seminar afterwards. And he said, where you are isn't where you're going, which is really interesting, you know. And so apparently we're not focused on, you know, the things that we used to be focused on today, which is really neat. And my mom once said that she loved every stage in her life. She was, like, the most positive. I was attached to the hip with my mom. I loved my mom so much. And she always carried a positive attitude that it'll work out no matter what. You know, no matter what road you take, it'll always work out. And she was my biggest cheerleader in life. It was really awesome. And she's been gone for 4 years now. And I learned that my self-esteem has developed and changed over the years through both inner and outer processes. And I've inwardly battled with low self-esteem while throughout the years observed and found tools to turn it around to a higher self-esteem. And because I just don't get things. Sometimes I really need to hear them over and over again or hear people motivate or read books or, you know, all that. Doesn't come that easy sometimes. And one thing I learned from my Aunt Dot was that when my older daughter, this is my daughter Mary, Emily's back there, and I have an older daughter, Mary. When she was born, she's 16 now, Aunt Dot pointed out to me that the whole world to my, I was the whole world to my baby, everything. I was everything, you know, and that whenever I go into the room, she said, do this really simple thing. give her a big smile and just say, you know, hi, how are you? And just be so happy with the great positive attitude every single solitary time that I see that baby just walk into that room. And every time I did, it brought big smiles, you know. It's not like, oh, do again. You know, it's like you just want to, you just, so every time, so I just made that. And I carry that with me. That's part of my gift and my spiritual tool, you know, just carry that with me. And, you know, even with my cat, it's like, hi, how are you? And then he'll be like, ah, you know, he puts his arm or his head right next to the cabinet with the food. But but anyway, and one time I overheard this conversation the other day. I was having lunch with Jay Loreen and Phil, two of my art instructors, after we did an assembly at a school. And I overheard someone at the table next to us introducing their son to the people that were at the table. And the woman said, oh, yes, I believe we've met before. And then to me, I took that as another gift in my arsenal. I might put that right in my tool belt. It's like, because when I meet somebody for the second time, I'll be just as enthusiastic as the first time and say, yeah, you know what? It was a pleasure meeting you. And I'm really, you know, it's really nice seeing you again. Not, oh, yes, we've met, and then move on to the next thing. And I'm just like, my jaw drops when I see so many people in society. If you've met somebody, it's for the second time, it's like, it's to me, it's just, why do we do that? I don't understand. Anyway, another thing that I learned from my sister Pam was something that when you're on the phone and you're talking to somebody that you might talk to every day, like I talk to my husband every day, and whenever I talk to him, I give him a great big enthusiastic, hi, how are you? Because you know what? It makes my day when he calls me up and I hear his voice, and he works real hard, and I'm not like, oh, I got to call you back, or I'm going to leave, oh, hi, what? You know, it's like, no, it's like, hi, how are you? And I'm sure it really makes him feel good, too. And whenever I talk to my sister Pam and she gets like that, I know how I feel. You feel a little uplifted. And, you know, it's just kind of nice to, so there's another little gift I put in my little tool belt there. And then I learned things like that also from my father. And he died at the age of 54. And I'm 52 now, so he died 2 years older than how I, you know, than I am now. And I was 19, and I had my dad, I have such loving memories of my dad. Everybody loved my dad. To this day, well over 30 years afterwards, people keep coming up to me and telling me what a great guy he was, that he used to lift up people, praise people, make them feel real special. He was a salesman. And he worked at in the 76th floor of the Empire State Building. So that was kind of interesting. Where at the time, we used to be able to go up in that little cage and like four people and go all the way up to the tippity top. And I was like scared, so scared. But anyway, so that was fun. But he was a deacon in the church and a Sunday school teacher. And he always wore a fresh rosebud on his lapel. And imagine it really speaks volumes, because with our social networking today, you run across people from, I mean, my age. I mean, when the younger kids, I mean, they're just running with it, but it's new for people that are my age. And so I, you know, haven't heard from people in 30 years, and all of a sudden connecting with people from grammar school. Wow, you know, I just want to let you know, your dad meant the world to me. He always made me feel really special. And then another one on Facebook would say, you know what, I have a plant here, and we call it Mr. King's plant. And it always reminds me of him, because he gave it to me, and I planted it. And when we moved to another house, I made sure I took that plant with me. And it's like, everybody who knew my dad had a story about him. And they just loved him. He just emanated lots and lots of love. And to me, that was just awesome. I mean, when they moved, they made sure that they had a circle of friends and that they joined bridge clubs, and he was a gourmet cook and would take classes, and it was really neat. Emily made brownies today, not brownies, she made cupcakes today. So anytime my kids cook or bake, I always think, oh, you got, my daddy in you. So, and in my business, this is the, things that I learned from my dad. In my business, I teach that, we teach art to the children, and I always stress to my instructors the importance of uplifting the children. And encouragement and positive reinforcement is a part of who we are at Art Smarts. It really is. And you just never know how a simple act of praise can change the life of someone. It really can change the life of someone. Or just as simple as being yourself can change someone else's world. And I see how Hillary Clinton, named her book, It Takes a Village. It really does, And when I was in at my 25th high school reunion, this girl approached me who owns this really successful graphic design studio in L.A., who I barely even remembered her. I would not have recognized her or knew her. I mean, I lost my yearbook. Somebody borrowed my yearbook 3 weeks after I graduated, and I never saw it again, and she ended up going into a mental institution, and I never was able to retrieve it. So I was never able to look back on all of these people for the 30 years. So, of course, a lot of them faded away. But this woman practically tackled me down to say that how I changed her life. In high school, she watched me do all these art projects, and I inspired her and to where she is today. And it's like, the next day I'm having coffee with my mom and I'm crying because of my low self-esteem. And here's somebody who I don't even know is, thinking higher than I'm thinking of myself. It's just incredible. And, and then when I lived in OB, I lived there in OB for 10 years with my husband. And I did custom design and interior design work also. I used to bartend and cocktail waitress for 17 years too, but I always did my artwork. And I was in several galleries. And this one woman who owned this place called The Hair of the Dog approached me at a party and said that she said that I inspired her to start her successful business. And I'm thinking, you're kidding. And she had to, again, drag me down and, and pull me aside and said, if you can do it, I can do it. Because she saw what I was doing at the different galleries. And it's like, wow, it's like you just don't know who you're going to touch. You have no idea what's going to happen. It's up to God and the other people of whether or not what they're going to do with it. And my website, by the way, is artsmarts.net. And on there, I do have one little section for awards and recognition. And it's interesting because in this economy, my best year so far was 2008 in my business, and I thought, oh, I can't get it. It's great. It's going to just keep getting better and better and better. Well, that was when the recession hit, and this tidal wave ended up not being like here I am, and this tidal wave ended up being like this big and not this big, as they, mentioned at the, the board meetings and the schools and all that. Well, that really, really affected my business, but that's okay. I'm just holding God's finger and all that. But in the awards and recognition, it was interesting because after 2008, my biggest client was the YMCA. And they were totally I would get half of my income through grants, and that would be the YMCA who would teach the 6 to 6 after school program in several schools. Or the parents would pay. So it would be half the income here and more than half the income with the grants. Well, after the second year, they had to become creative as to how they're going to, get this money, because they see this tidal wave is really starting to come. So they asked all of their vendors, can you give back 10% of what we give you? And I'm like, I'm there. I totally appreciate all the income, everything you do. So I'm going to give you, for instance, my company grossed just from 2008, just from the YMCA, $50,000 in 2008. The next year, when they finally were doing, being creative about it, $12,000. That's when I gave them $1,200 out of the $12,000 at 10%. This year, $800. And I haven't even seen that check. This year, they called me up and said, can we count on the same amount as you did last year? And I said, I'd love to give you the $1,200. As long as you can give me the $12,000, I'll give you the $1,200. I will give you 10% of whatever you give me. I'll give it back. I'm totally grateful. They're like, well, we really don't have it in our budget. And I'm like, well, I don't either. And they're like, well, can we count on the $80? And I'm like, as soon as I see that check, I haven't seen it yet. It's been since September. So we're all riding this wave together. But what I thought was really interesting was that this award, from that year, the $1,200 that I gave, they had this big, got this really neat invitation in the mail for the wife for a dinner, sit-down dinner and all that. It was like, I don't know, $120, $150 a seat. And I'm like, I really can't afford this. I would love to do that. And I thought, oh, that would be kind of fun. Well, apparently, they were giving me an award at this thing for being the top beneficiary of all of the benefactors. Not beneficiary, of all the top benefactor. Of all of the different people. So they kind of felt bad. So they gave me this beautiful plaque or this beautiful trophy. And it was really nice. You could see it on the internet. But it was really, really sweet. And a huge thank you note behind it. I put that on there of all the kids who I touched, you know. And because when things were going good, I would just not only give back the money, but give back art supplies and here's the kids. It's all about the kids. Even now, I even got I asked for 12 tickets for Comic-Con because I do that every year. So I'll get them comp tickets for Comic-Con. The first year, I bought them all and then gave it to them. But but now I'm even though I haven't gotten their business, I'm going around strumming up them business because it's all about the kids and giving it to them. But anyway, so each time, so now my low self-esteem can start cutting in because I also had to incorporate. And incorporating is all those other fees. Boy, it's a lot of other fees. It cost me in the last, and then I got audited for that 1 year that I did really good. So now that it's really easy for this low self-esteem to start creeping in. But I have a lot of tools to work with. I'm riding this wave just like everybody else. A lot of people lost their houses. A lot of people lost their jobs. You know, we're all in this together. And so, like Millie says, I just grab God's little finger, you know, grab his big finger, whatever. Just grab his finger and then just write it. Joel Osteen gave me another great tool. And he would say, just before getting out of bed, something real simple. It's going to be a great day. Just like every day, it's going to be a great day. It's going to be a great day. It's going to be a great day. And then that really just helps you day after day. It really, really helps me to get through things. And at the Get Motivated seminar, Howard Putnam, he's the president of Southwest Airlines, said turbulence is inevitable, but misery is optional. Make turbulence work for you. Change the way the game is played. Have a vision, a flight plan. Bill Cosby said at the seminar, believe in yourself. Have courage. Do it. Without courage, I would never have been able to ask Robin Williams to do that interview. Mm-hmm. Chelsea King said, you must be the change you want to see in the world. It was a quote from Gandhi. Chelsea, believe it or not, is the reason for my talk today. When I first asked the angels to help me with my topic, I saw a news piece on Finish Chelsea's Run. King is my maiden name. My father was so wonderfully polite to people over the phone, and I remember him pronouncing our name King. This is Harold King, because you know how they get your name wrong or whatever. And Chelsea is also the name of one of my nieces. The sunflower logo is not only the sign of spiritualism, but one of my current art lessons is painting sunflowers. And I was really touched by how Chelsea was inspired by her dad. And with his inspiration, She wrote quotes to live by, which she wrote on post-it notes and put it all around her room. And the very last quote that Chelsea posted on Facebook was a quote from John Muir. When one tugs at a single thing in nature, he finds it attached to the rest of the world. And we're part of nature, you know, and I just feel the same way in life. You know, you don't know what's going to happen when you go and you praise a little kid about something. They might have been the first time they've ever been praised before. And if you ever want a really good person to talk about Chelsea, ask Melinda, because she went to her funeral. She went to the run, and she's got a lot to say about Chelsea. But I'd like to close with one of my God stories, which I've shared part of it, but this year I asked my angels to help me find my little ditty on my spirit guide named Resting Eagle. And Millie had given it to me over 18 years ago, and I misplaced it because I was in class with Barbara was probably there. I had Mary in my belly.
You were
here.
A very good child.
And I was in class for 2 years before that with Mary. And so I had had Resting Eagle at that time. Well, and if you take one of your Millie's classes, and if you don't know it, most people get an Indian guide. And so then he says something on a piece of paper, and it's really special. It's real fun. And I had this, and I couldn't find it. And I was like, oh, my gosh. So I got out that tool belt, and I asked the angels to help me find it. And lo and behold, in a place that I would never think of looking, I found it. It's like I was inspired to spring clean my closet. And I'm like, wait a minute. Up there, what's up here on the shelf? And it was up there. And so that was kind of cool. And in the same week, some really awesome things happened the same exact week. I became friends on Facebook with an old grammar school friend of mine. Actually, I never really knew him very well, but he was an old classmate. I mean, it was a guy. I mean, you don't really close friends with guys when you're in grammar school, but still, you know, it was kind of neat. Hey, how you doing? You know, and he posted a beautiful picture of a bald eagle resting on a tree right outside his window. It was a rare sight for him. So here I see this. I get connected with this guy, and I see this. And whenever I see a hawk, I say to myself, there's my hawk. And I always think that that's my connection to my Indian spirit, because you don't normally see a lot of eagles flying around San Diego, but you can see, you know, a lot of hawks, you know. I mean, not a lot, but when they're there, to me, it's like, oh, my gosh, there's my hawk. And then there was this time I was taking, I mean, the same time frame, same few days, I was taking a walk with Reverend Rita, and her Indian guide is White Hawk. And it was pretty neat because we met at Murray Manor. You go to Murray Manor. You went to Murray Manor. You teach at Murray Manor. So, sorry. At Lake Murray, we were walking at Lake Murray. And we met there, and as soon as I got out of the car, I got a phone call from my daughter, Mary, said, Mom, I forgot such and such from, you know, can you go home and get it and bring it to the school? So Rita, without even, you know, a thought, says, let's go. So we hop in my car, we go to the house, we get whatever Mary needs, we get back in the car, drive out of the driveway. Second we get out of the driveway, this hawk swoops right in front of the hood of my car, and we're both like floored. And I said, Rita, there's your hawk, because of course when I'm with Rita it's her hawk, because, you know, it's otherwise it's my hawk thinking of Resting Eagle, you know. But and so we just sat, we pulled over because it went right into a tree. It was really neat. So then we get to the lake, and we start walking, and we're about halfway around the lake, and Rita's talking, and I'm always alert to the bird sounds, and I'm like, hold that thought. And I look in the distance, and I see, and I'm hearing this pretty sound, and I've never heard this sound before, and I see this big bird in this tree. I'm like, come on, let's go and check this out. So we get closer and closer and closer, and of course, the angels were saying as I was leaving to get Mary's thing, take your camera. I'm like, I don't need my camera. Luckily, I had my cell phone. Because what I was seeing at the lake was an eagle.
Wow.
And I got this picture of it flying from my cell phone. And so I went home and I went on the internet and I found out that it was a golden eagle, because that's what is the type of eagles that are in that area. There's not too many of them. And so that was really amazing, really, really awesome for me. And so there you have it. Do I have anything else? I think that's it. I just wanted to...